see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to Watching for Jesus program. My name is Thomas Gambill. I am the host of this program today, Watching for Jesus, brought to you by Watching for Jesus. How you like that? Welcome for our program this afternoon. Population control, mind control, what they've been doing all along. I don't want to say too much about this because everybody else is, so no need for me to talk about it. But this Malaysia flight thing, I could spend an hour talking about all this and all that and conspiratorial whatever and blah, blah, blah. But here's the deal. Those bodies smelled bad when the rescuers got there. Decomposed bodies. Already. That's fast. Unless they're already dead. And they didn't have any bodies. They didn't have any blood. They didn't have any blood. Wasn't much blood there. It means the bodies were dead. How about I submit this to you? That the bodies that were on the plane weren't even the bodies of the Dutch Shell employees or the Exxon executives. And others might have been actually manifested. But what say that some of the dead bodies, if they ever find any of other body parts, all stacked in a box? That's convenient, wasn't it? How about tagging and identifying each one? But if they're already dead and they're not the real ones on the plane at the beginning, but dead, put on the plane that's automatic pilot, like a drone, like 911. Oh, a drone-driven plane with dead bodies already on it being put on by men in hazmat suits. How about that? And the executives or going somewhere else and are today somewhere else. They just disappear because there's getting ready to happen a national reset. The Iraqi dinar, some people have already collected on that sucker and then already put it in gold or silver up in Switzerland. They're gone someplace in the Bahamas or some other little island that they have all the elite with new names. While the other bodies of people they've massacred and murdered are put on that plane. Notice that a lot of these executives are dying, like billionaires are dying from their aircraft and all this. Would it be that they're all being collected in one location, that they're being lied to? Excuse me, I'm sorry, that was a Freudian slip. A told that they're going to be protected in their new places, new identities? What a hoot that is, huh? That they're being told and led to believe that they're going to be taken care of. Oh, they will not take care of them. The ultimate plan, this is a promise. This is what's on their plan. It is going to happen. But what the elite don't realize is the highest level of this conspiracy, the Great White Brotherhood, as they're called, the hierarchy, which is above your Pope and above your Queen Elizabeth II and all these, they're nothing but slaves anyway, of a much higher hierarchy of, shall we say, organizers and directors of this conspiracy. They're going to kill every human being that they can. And that's including the elite. Including the elite. They're being placated until they're done with them, and they're going to kill them. They always do this. There's no exception. So they're creating their own abominations of physical bodies, of human bodies that's part human and part digital DNA, hybrid DNA, digitized, is their abomination, their creation. Well, she would say their manipulation. Now, I have this is all documented. I'm not making this up at all. This is all documented. We're so close to that first seal opening, it's not even funny. That's why they want to counterfeit the end times events to make you believe and think. We're talking people like Carl Gallup, and we're talking high-level evangelists and so forth is trying to get people to believe that we're already in the sixth trumpet. That's totally impossible. So what they're counting on is that people out there, 90%, don't read their Bible and trust them. That's total evil. To have someone trust you and then you lie to them. Or if you are not lying and you're deceived, that's still disgusting. Because if people trust you, you better make darn sure your information is correct. And if you make a mistake, you're quick to get back to the people you told it to and correct it. Like as soon as you find out. Whether it's a broadcast, a television, or an article, or whatever you, or somebody you told, you better go find them and say, look, I made a mistake. Let the pride go. I've done it before. I've made mistakes talking on the radio and a couple of years ago or something. I don't know, whatever I've made. And next day I said, whoop, I made a boo-boo. And I'll say it on the air. I'll do it at the drop of a hat. I don't hesitate one second. Nobody has all the answers, but you darn sure better do the research. And do it without any biasness at all. People have these silly loyalties to mankind, to countries, to flags, to families, to religion, to popes, priests, rabbis, bishops, preachers, I don't know, religion, loyalties that keep you down and keep you anchored to the world. The world's going to go away. Your anchor is going to be lifted. That's a promise. It's a guarantee. God said it. It's going to happen. It's called the tribulations. It's called judgment. It will happen. And you know, you say, well, I'll just wait until the day I see that Lord that you say, Jesus Christ, comes in the air and then I'll repent. Well, don't work that way. Because there's such a thing as called a reprobate mind. You better study that. There's also such a thing that when this thing goes down, you're going to forget all that and survive the best way you can. And unfortunately, they provide you the dialectic of survival called Mark of the Beast. And that's when your soul is sealed to go to hell, when you take it. John MacArthur, this so-called evangelist, is a traitor. A traitor, a liar, and a Luciferian. Because he says it's okay to take the Mark of the Beast. That's what many theologians are going to say to you, especially those that are trained by FEMA. Tens of thousands are being trained by FEMA to lie to the American public during the time of a disaster. They'll be sent out in groups. Nice, big, wide smiles with clean teeth, whatever, will be hitting all their cultural groups. Friendly, kind, generous, obedient, whatever, pretending to be, but inside evil to the core. When they start preaching outside the Bible, the King James Bible, shut them off like a faucet. Pray for them, but turn away. Dust your feet, because they are there to cause you ill and to cause you death. Do not play with this, because their intentionally is to deceive you. I don't call that friendly at all. Call a wolf in sheep's clothing. Family, it's getting serious. If you don't see it already, boy, you better wake up and Dancing with the Stars. And America's Got Talent ain't going to provide it for you. It's going to keep you busy, keep you tied up. You can play solitaire all you want to. But it's not going to get you anywhere else but separated from God. Family, time's coming. It's around the corner. Don't play with this. People right now are focused on the news, but they're being misdirected, put in the wrong direction. At the highest level, I take it serious. Because I know the conspiracy is there. And when you know the conspiracy is there, then you can see the signs as it comes along. I'm going to give you some of those signs today. I hope tomorrow I'll talk about witchcraft. Friday to expose it. And, you know, tonight I have Bible study, 7:30 to 9. And my website is watchmenforjesus.com. Excuse me. Also, if you would, visit talkstreamlive.com, and you can listen to or click on either one or both at the green bar beside my picture. You can listen to me there, and if I keep talking like 5 minutes before they shut down, or after they shut down, I'll still be talking on my website. See, they shut down about 3 minutes before the top of the hour. So while I'm talking, it go click. And my 24-hour loop will kick in. It's like, what is he talking about? What happened? You see? So the show, my program, continuously, as I'm talking live, will continue on my website. You'll still hear me talking, even though TalkStream Live shuts down. Just thought you might want to know that. I'm dedicated to broadcast, and then we're going to jump right on into it today. I have an idea what to talk about, but I just go along with what how the Lord leads me. That's just how I do it. Sometimes I get off on rabbit trails. Sometimes people say, Tom, they send me a text or something, and Tom, you were talking. That happens. I get on rabbit trails sometimes. But that's just the kind of way I am on occasion. And, well, many occasions, actually. But and don't take my word for anything. I don't want you to. Challenge it, man. Go after it. Go after it. You know? And find out for yourself. So you find out. Not that I said something. It's because you found out and said, look what I found. And that's what you say. Or you find out I was wrong. I made a mistake. Fine, tell me. That's how it works. Nobody has all the answers. But when you take a blood oath in the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Shriners, you take a blood oath your credibility is zero. If you're a judge on the bench, a lawyer, or whatever you are, and you've taken a blood oath, you cannot be trusted. Absolutely, and all the good deeds in the world will not change that. Because you have given an oath to Lucifer, and all the good deeds that you do come to zero. Matter of fact, they work against you. They will tie you down. It's like putting a millstone around your neck and throwing you in the deepest part of the ocean. When you take a blood oath, you're done. Until you renounce it, beg God for forgiveness, Matthew 5:33, 34, 37, and then take Jesus as your Savior, because you sure didn't have him when you took that blood oath. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit would have kept you from it or convicted you so much you'd have walked out of that Freemason lodge. You got to get out of there. Get away from the Freemasons. Get away from Knights of Malta. Get away from these secret societies. Otherwise, your soul is doomed to hell forever until you renounce a blood oath. You've brought hell and you've brought Satan to your home. As soon as you take a blood oath, as soon as you walk into a lodge, you've given permission to be demonized. Take the oath. You've been possessed. These are facts. These are not speculation or theory. You have many, you can read about Masons that's renounced the blood oath. They realized what they were involved in. They got out. And they're trying to help their brothers realize it. This is very serious. And those below third degree, second degree, first degree, they do not know. You say, how do you know? Well, because I go beyond their blood oaths. Their knowledge is out there. It's all put out. I can tell you the exact steps, first, second, third degree. I could run one myself with the steps I found in a 1952 book. Has it word for word. Darkness Visible by Walton Hanna tells you exactly. And I checked it with 1983 steps that I was able to accumulate, and the blood oaths are the same. Anyway, we're going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to jump into what we're going to talk about today. Lord, we thank you today for coming together, allowing us to come together, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we pray that, Father, you'll cover us with the blood of Jesus to protect us from interruptions. Father, to protect us from these covens. And, Father, to send back to them the hexes and vexes and the curses they send out. To send it back to them, Lord. And to strip down their protection. And, Father, to seal the Holy Spirit to their heart, that those, Father, that are cut, that are touched, they'll find the light of your Son, Jesus. The Father will be protected, be able to do the work of the Lord through your protection. Father, we pray for their souls. We pray for those families around them. The Father, you'll have them to sanctify the family member that's involved. But protect those that do not want to get involved with it. Father, we pray for veterans as they come back. We pray for veterans, Lord, that's never left. That, Father, you'll use your Holy Spirit to render null and void the psychotropic drugs, the microchips they have in their bodies, and the thoughts of suicide that's been put into their heads, that's been put there by this technologies, by the population control methods of HARP, ELF, microchips, all these technologies that's total of evil. The Father, you'll protect them through the blood of Jesus. Father, we pray for children that's being abducted, kidnapped by these covens. Those kidnapped and led down the wrong path by the Child Protective Service and those in the CIA that's, Father, that's collecting these children for nefarious reasons, sacrifice and other methods, that, Lord, that you'll find a way to get them freed, to bring out whistleblowers, to sabotage the efforts that Satan's taking in these organizations and movements, agencies, to expose them for who and what they really are. Father, we pray for blessings upon those, Lord, that seek in your name. We pray for blessings and protection for those, Father, that's witnessing to others, to give them the opportunity and divine appointments that they can spread the blood of Jesus even to enemies. And Father, the Holy Spirit will work in their hearts times three. That, Lord, that seeds planted, divine appointments are set, and conversions take place. Father, to raise up these churches, to move away from the direction of these government-controlled churches, the 501c3, to expose those Jesuits, those Freemasons, those in the hierarchies of these churches, of their real message, to give courage to the parishioners, to the ones in the churches to speak out, correct and rebuke and reprove the false theologies being taught. And Lord, to raise up the only true word of God in the King James Bible as the only true word. Father, so many people are deceived in these other Bibles. To expose this fallacy and exalt your true word in the King James. Lord, we need that help, the supernatural help. And to send down those warring angels to strip down the protection of the Wicca, strip down the protection of Luciferian and the Satanist and all the like. And expose them to the blood of Jesus. Expose them, Father, that they can see the truth to make their decision. And protect those, Father, following your word. To guide us in their Bible studies, give us that wisdom discernment to see through the end times, through the deception that's being put out by some of these churches. And Father, that you'll write the truth on the hearts. And these things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to start off, you're probably thinking, well, I thought you already started. Not really. I just kind of get warmed up every now and then. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's a promise by God. How they stop that? By keeping you busy, tied up, and distracted. By causing you fear. In every kind of way they can think of, is why you don't have power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Why you don't have power over the enemy. Why things do hurt you because of fear that we have. What happened to Peter when he's walking on the water? Yeah, he did. He walked on the water. He saw Jesus. He said, wow, I'm coming to you. He was. Peter was. So his faith, shall we say it, changed the DNA structure, translated Peter's body to where he could walk on the water. No longer total flesh, but it was changed. I mean, pure fresh flesh is not going to walk on water. You got to have a change of DNA. Got to be kind of light at the feet. But changing DNA. His faith allowed the Holy Spirit to change his DNA. To change his body structure. Until what? Until he had fear, what did Peter start doing? Bloop, 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 seeking. Then he got fearful. Lord, Lord, help me, I'm sinking. How about the woman that, with a blood, issue of blood, she saw Jesus coming, and she thought in her mind, her head, she thought, if all I can do is touch his cloth, just touch his robe. Hundreds of people had thronged him and touched him and all kinds of things, you know, he's walking through, and they're touching him, patting him on the back and all that sort of thing, you know. No big deal there. Except she thought and had faith that all I got to do is touch his robe, I'll be healed. Well, she didn't say, let me touch you or look at me over here or nothing. She just thought in her heart, her faith only. And she accomplished that. She got within touching distance, reached out and touched it, and she was healed. Now, she didn't say, Lord, I'm healed. Look, 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 I'm healed. And Jesus turned around and saw her. No, that's not what happened. He felt virtue, healing power, coming out of him. He said, who touched me? And the disciples are saying, what do you mean who touched you? All kinds of people touching you. No, I felt virtue leave. He felt virtue. Virtue is faith. And the faith that she had healed her because the Holy Spirit knew her heart. Is it only to Jews and Christians and whatever? No. How about the Roman legion general? Was it some leader in the Roman army trusted Jesus and came up to him, can you heal my servant? Go now, he said. And his servant was healed just at a distance away. At the same time that he approached Jesus. He shows you all kinds of ways. He brought people back from the dead. Lazarus, the old girl, all kinds of. Didn't put all of them in there. Did many that they didn't put in the Bible. Don't have to. They just tell you enough what you need to know. It's that faith that you got to have. Blind faith, it might be. But back then, think about it for a minute. Back then, they saw these miracles. Can you imagine if they did it today? We're amazed at Copperfield and all these other weirdo magicians do all these crazy things. We're like, wow, ooh, ah, whoa, hey. But back then, it's like, you know. And yet they still denied him. All the miracles. And they still denied him. And he expects us to trust in the Bible enough to where we're going to believe everything and hadn't seen anything. We try to make miracles. We see miracles. They give courses in miracles. I think I take a correspondence course, right? What are you doing? Taking correspondence in miracles. Martha says, are you serious? And I say, yeah, enough there, honey. I'm going to take me a miracle course because I can't grow a thing. And I figured if I could get me a miracle course, I can make my crops grow a miracle. You know what I mean? Well, it ain't going to work, Cletus. You don't take a course in miracles, a course in speaking with angels. Oh, my gosh. It's your faith that does it, not a course. And I'm not joking here. I'm not kidding. And I am university. I am university. It's a new age university where you can take correspondence to be a god. Oh, I'm dead serious. I am university. Then they have another one that the new agers have to teach you how to be godlike and a coming ascended master and whatever, whatnot. Is Melchizedek. Man, do not ask me to spell that. Look it up yourself. Melchizedek University. They're setting everything up for the New Age humanist manifesto, getting ready for the falling away and the stealing of souls. That ethereal feeling you get. Oh, man, I feel the presence, the Christ presence. I feel it now. Yeah, that's a demon inside you. Holy laughter, holy drunkenness, speaking in tongues. Blah, 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 yada, 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 these churches. No, sir, that is not the Holy Spirit, and that's not God. That church is demonized. There is no doubt about it. Let me put my hands on you, brother. Let me get your hands away from me, son. Get away. Do not be putting your hands on me. Family, a church is not four walls. A church where two or more are gathered in his name. His name is Jesus. And let me tell you something, the coming Yeshua, Yahushua, whatever that is, that you can't even pronounce hardly, unless you take about a year's course of Hebrew, which you don't need to do. You don't need to take Hebrew or Greek course. That's ridiculous. There are no originals to be found. That's ridiculous. The older versions or older manuscripts are more inaccurate. That's the biggest lie from hell ever was. That's coming from humanist scholars. And you know something, y'all? I got evidence of that. I got evidence of everything I tell you. If I can find it, y'all can find it. Quote from humanist Charles Francis Potter said, and I quote, "Education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. Every American public school is a school of humanism. What can a theistic Sunday school meeting for an hour once a week and teaching only a fraction of the children do to stem the tide of the five-day program of humanistic teaching?" Unquote. Shall I say that again, Freemasons? Teachers? I'm going to say that again. Listen carefully to what a humanist, Charles Francis Potter, said in 1930. That stands today, and it was reporting what had been going on since 1908 until today. Now, tomorrow, it's what No Child Left Behind, Common Core. It's all trash. It's all to keep your children dumb. And the teachers, Eastern Stars, some are Wicca, some are good teachers afraid to lose their job. So they teach this garbage they're teaching in school today. And history that is that can be torn apart if you really do your studies. Let me say it again. Listen carefully what Charles Francis Potter said in 1930. See, I did some more research on Charles Francis Potter, and I found he said more than what I found before. It's amazing what you can find. He said, and I quote, "Education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism, and every American school is a school of humanism. What can a theistic Sunday school meeting for an hour, once a week, oh my, and teaching only a fraction of the children do to stem the tide of the five-day program of humanistic teaching?" Unquote. Oh my goodness, I just dawned on me. I've said once before that we give Satan 1 hour a week at Sunday school, and we give Satan 7 days a week, almost 24 hours a day, where he controls education, philosophy, religions, all religions, I mean Christianity as well, science, all the sciences, bar none. Harmony, beauty, and the arts. There's your entertainment. Politics, worldwide. And finance, worldwide. Those seven areas exactly are in fact quantified with objectives, and they are called Ashram, A-S-H-R-A-M, RAYS, R-A-Y-S. And each one of those has milestones, objectives. Each one of those, in fact, has a fallen angel that's controlled of it, a leader, with, in fact, six lower-level fallen angels under them, making a total of 7 times 7 is 49 fallen angels controlling those seven areas in our lives every single day. Versus going to church 1, maybe 2 hours a week. Do the math on that one. Parents working. Got both parents working, and they got your kids 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year. And it's, they have objectives, milestones, that they care for it. You say, well, that's 1930. Do tell. Regular listeners, bear with me. But I can hear out there people saying, oh, I don't believe none of that. Well, Chester Pierce, medical doctor out of Harvard. He ought to have a little something going for him, huh? Besides chewing gum. Dr. Pierce of Harvard spoke to 2,000 teachers at one time in Denver, Colorado, at a conference. He said these words to 2,000 impressionable teachers in 1973. I quote, "Every child in America entering school to age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. It is up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international children of the future. Now, that was 40 years after Charles Francis Potter. And how can this, and this dawned on me one day, and I've said this before, so bear with me, regular listeners. How can a doctor, medical doctor from Harvard, talking to 2,000 teachers at one time with a microphone, you understand that, the setting here? Say this to a bunch of teachers. Why didn't they just get up and walk out on this fruitcake? How come they didn't say and sign a petition to have him removed out of Harvard? He could probably work at McDonald's, I imagine, be a good, probably a good manager at McDonald's. That's what he's good at. That's the only thing he's good at. Because he's a liar and total evil to say these words, and he said them. I got something else to say about that. Why those teachers sat there? I already said that, didn't I? I got something else to say about that. How can he say that every child entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill? They just got out of their mother's matrix at 5 years old. Man, their mom didn't even have time to start training them. They just got off of drinking milk from a body, you understand? So they're now probably feeding themselves. How did they get all this going? Because you know why? Because in 1973, a child of 5 years old is going to be a baby of one of the baby boomers. Are they not? And the baby boomers had this training. So there's an assumption there that the baby boomers, who were children of the World War I, World War II parents, that were taught these values because they needed to be to foment those wars. Because 1948, 20-some years before this, to 1953, Brock Chisholm confirms the takedown of America and how they're going to do it in one genius quote. He lays it out, how they're going to do it, in just one little quote. And that quote, by what's his name? Brock Chisholm, who was Canadian, director of the United Nations World Health Organization. He said, this is really nicely summed up. He said, I quote, "To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas." Unquote. That was in 1948. The takedown of America began in 1945. As planned by Tavistock. You see how this works? Tavistock, a behavioral think tank in England. Worldwide reach. Family, you understand how this works? This is slam dunk. You Freemasons that know this, you think for a minute God's going to let this win? Are you that naive? Are you that naive? Marxism in College Campuses by David A. Nobel, Ph.D. Quote, "Are your kids prepared for the onslaught of anti-Christian biases on today's college campus?" Dr. David Nobel, N-O-E-B-E-L, president of Summit Ministries in Manitou Springs, Colorado, was involved in training students in a Christian apologetics for like 30 years. An article was taken from the book Understanding the Times. And In his reports today, he says in that period of time that Marxism is the dominant view in some African and Latin American countries under the guise of liberation theology. Under the guise of liberation theology. Did you hear what I said? Well, I guess if you listened to the broadcast, you would. But did you hear what I said? I don't mean audibly. I mean, did you hear what I said? Well, you might find this interesting then. When you go to the protocols, learn the Elders of Zion, that was done by Adam Weishaupt, finished on his birthday, May the 1st, 1776, was the beginning of socialism, Marxism, liberalism, 2 months before that false Declaration of Independence was put out, as planned by the Vatican and the Illuminati. They brought our Declaration of Independence. They want to make sure we had one to justify martial law and takeover of the monarchy. And it worked, because we're still a colony today, and that's a fact. These lying judges out there and lawyers and history professors are humanists. Well, in this genius document that was channeled by other forces, we'll say right now, if you go to Article 9 of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, and it's not by Jews, by the Illuminati, Italian, German. Article 9, Jesuits, don't forget, murderers, Jesuits. Article 9, paragraph 9, said, and I quote, in order not to annihilate the institutions of the Goyim before its time, we've touched them with craft and have taken hold of the ends of the springs which move their mechanism. And these springs lay in a strict but just sense of order. We have replaced them by the chaotic license of liberalism. Unquote. We have got our hands, begin quote. I'm not done. We have got our hands in the administration of the law, under the conduct of elections, into the press, in the liberty of the person, but principally into education and training as being the cornerstones of a free existence. Unquote. This is population control at its best, to make it worse. This is the planet of Satan for now. But Jesus beat him on the cross of Calvary. But only by you calling upon his name can you individually be saved. Can you stay the judgment, because the prayers of a righteous man, of the fervent prayers of a righteous man, avails much. That's a secret they don't know. But this time, the very reason that they've started stretching the run toward the end of the race, by now they're up to 19 states for homosexual marriage, have changed the laws against God's law. Homosexuality is against God's law. And the ban on homosexual marriages, they know when they lift it. Approving, making legal abortions, making legal marijuana and drugs, making legal euthanasia of children that can decide to kill themselves if they want to, it will start in Oregon. They've got you busy with some silly Malaysia flight, some, I don't know, other things going on to keep your eyes off of Oregon. Oregon's passing the Euthanasia Act, a model they took from Belgium that has accomplished it, where your children under the age of 18 can elect to kill themselves, can elect to euthanize themselves anytime they want to, and you can't stop it or you're going to jail. because they'll sign the international rights of the child. Y'all better wake up. And you Freemasons, you'll be caught in the middle of it, and you'll say, oh, snap, as they say, because they're going to kill you too. That's a fact and a promise. It's in their planning process. Chapter 15 of the protocols confirm they will kill every Mason and execute all those that know too much of their plans will be executed. And all those below will die, quote, as if by some illness, unquote. Family, they're already doing it. Continuing. So this Dr. Nobel, he said in his time period of this article, said that Marxism is a dominant view in some African and Latin American countries under the guise of liberation theology. And incredibly, on many American campuses, U.S. News and World Report, see, that was the purpose of Mandela, a Knights of Malta, a murderer. Martin Luther King, Mandela couldn't hold a candle to Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was a real man of God. JFK, Bobby Kennedy, and Malcolm X, he don't agree with his politics, but when he came back to Saudi Arabia, he changed completely. That's why they had to kill him too. The Jesuits made a clean sweep of four well-meaning political leaders. Anyway, U.S. News and World Report reported that there are 10,000 Marxist professors on America's campuses around 1980. Georgia Ann Geyer, you ever heard of her? How's that for credibility? Georgia Ann Geyer, syndicated columnist under Billy Bob Clinton back in the 90s, said that that the percentage of Marxist faculty numbers can range up to an estimated 90% in some Midwestern universities, unquote. And Arnold Beckman, B-E-I-C-H-M-A-N, this boy says that Marxist academics are today's power elite in the universities, unquote. Yeah. I'm not done. Quote, the strides made by Marxism at American universities in the last two decades are breathtaking, unquote, says New York University Herbert London. Quote, every discipline has been affected by its preachment, and almost every faculty now counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar. Quote, Duke University Slavic language professor Magnus Krynski, K-R-Y-N-S-K-I, describes increasing Marxist presence at his campus, a presence actively encouraged by the university administration, which he says, unquote, fetishly, F-A-D-D-I-S-H-L-Y, fetishly, luring Marxist literary critics to Duke University with large salaries. In March 1987, Duke University hosted the Southeast Marxist Scholars Conference, and Dr. Malcolm Gillis, former vice provost of Duke University, thanked some 100 Marxist professors, graduate students, and activists for gathering at Duke and said, quote, when I left this campus 20 years ago, there were few Marxists here. When I returned in 1984, I saw Marxists in many parts of the social science faculty. And you know, the conference was sponsored by the Marxist Educational Press, based at University of Minnesota, and Duke's own program Perspective in Marxism and Society. I thought that Ronald Reagan, Knights of Malta member, movie star, should have stayed there. Liar, as he admitted. Set up a FEMA, Star Wars, admits about the extraterrestrial lie. Working with FEMA, Operation Northwoods, to take down America, just like Nixon, like FDR, like LBJ, like Billy Bob Clinton, like, all the rest of them, Bush, the whole lot of them. I thought Reagan said, Gorbachev, tear down that wall. Although I guess he didn't tell us about the Gorbachev Foundation. No. And being that Reagan was the Knights of Malta, he would lie anyway. That's shameful. After all, he's an actor, like Ventura, like all the rest of them. Schwarzenegger. You notice they all hit political offices, by the way? What coincidence that is, huh? Huh. When are we going to learn? The colleges are used as recruiting grounds. And I thought Reagan said, tear down that wall. That means the end of communism, right? So how come we still got them there? Did you know what the Bellamy Salute is? Did you know that before 19, I can't give you exact date off the top of my head, but did you know before, we'll say 1938-39 time frame, between the 20s and 30s, thereabouts, that starting in the black schools, when the black kids started there first, in the education, the little first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, etc., when they said the quote unquote pledge of allegiance to the American corporation, I got a problem with that. But anyway, they said the pledge of allegiance, I pledge allegiance to the American flag for which it stands, blah, blah, blah. Then you know how they did it? Okay. If you'll follow me here, we'll do a little thing like, you know, you can act along as I'm talking. I don't have an audio or a visual or whatever. I mean, I got audio, but I don't have a camera here. But so you stick your right hand out straight out like you're trying to your palm down and your arm straight out. And you lift it up about 15 degrees and your palm is down. You ever heard of Heil Hitler, y'all? That's called the Bellamy Salute. Now, I've got pictures. 1930-38 vintage. Showing clearly in a history book of, I forget the date, 1935, I forgot the date, but not 1930s. Clearly showing, first it was the black schools saying the Pledge of Allegiance with the Bellamy Salute, the Heil Hitler sign. And then it shows white kids, too, all of them now, with a Bellamy Salute. Heil Hitler, before 1939. Now, when Hitler, Stalin, Churchill, FDR, Queen Elizabeth II, Japanese elite, were not able to complete their plan for world domination in 1943, well, things started getting ugly about 1939. They changed the Bellamy Salute at the schools, I pledge allegiance to the flag, blah, 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 to the right hand, now going to the right hand over the left breast. Oh, I know it's the heart. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So they got the right hand over the left breast, the heart. I pledge allegiance to the, okay, got it? So went from the Heil Hitler to right hand over the left breast. That's what we do today, right? Or whatever. Well, that second degree Mason sign for fidelity, by the way. Because the plans to make Hitler world government, working with FDR, working with the Japanese elite, working with Chamberlain, Knights of Malta member Churchill, Stalin, Queen Elizabeth II, they failed in their making a one world order in 1943. They had to adjust their plans for various reasons. I'm not going to go into. Many false flags. They power lust of Hitler. All kinds of things happened. And Yamamoto did not complete the third wave to totally destroy the military in Hawaii and invade it, thereby being able to launch attacks on California. And FDR was a part of dictatorship of America. Oh, I've got a quote from FDR, so that's a fact. He had planned a dictatorship. Matter of fact, we have a map, 1943, showing the 10 unions of the world. They had everything all set up and went to hell in a handbasket. So they had to adjust. People have no idea how these connect. That's one of the reasons they murdered Patton. See, Patton was cousin to General Puller, Marine Corps. They were cousins. Generals were cousins. And the next enemy after World War II was going to be communism, passing us into Korea and Vietnam to be the next fictitious alternate enemy after World War II. Well, Patton wasn't going to play the game. He said, why stop here? We're going to fight Russia anyway. We're going to fight the communists anyway. Let's go. Keep going. Shut up, George. Shut up. George wasn't going to shut up. He wanted to keep going. He's going after the commies now because he knew there's going to be a war. He knew already. They had to assassinate Patton. Killed him in the hospital. Reagan lied. The Marxist influence is, as it is now preferred, the politically correct word, has reached its most alarming heights in American universities and humanities departments. Quote, with a few notable exceptions, says former Yale professor Roger Kimball, quote, our most prestigious liberal arts colleges and universities have installed the entire radical menu at the center of the humanities curriculum at both undergraduate and graduate levels. Unquote. Roger Kimball from Yale. Kimball also provides more evidence that Duke University is in the forefront of academia's move toward Marxism, noting that it's been recently conducted a tireless and successful campaign to arm its humanities department with the likes of Marxist literary critic Frederick Jameson, Barbara Herrnstein Smith, Lentricia. I just massacred that name, Lentricia. I don't even want to spell it because I'm embarrassed. Lentricia. I have no clue. Chia Chia. Anyway, Stanley Fish and his pedagogically like-minded wife. I did good on that one, didn't I? Pedagogically. I'm going to say it again. Pedagogically. I've been practicing that one. Jane Tompkins and other less well-known souls of kindred intellectual orientation. You see, the Marxist worldview is alive and well in American classroom. And Dr. Fred Schwartz said, I quote, the colleges and universities are the nurseries of communism. Christian students must not get caught up in these nurseries. You'll find Roger Kimball's quote in Tenured Radicals, 1990. Family, I'm passing this on to the ones involved. Y'all being played for fools. And those of us that don't know, you now know what's really going on behind the scenes. And those that know this, they're going to kill you. They're not going to let you live. They're promising you your favorite parking place. They're giving you all these contracts. They're giving you a promise of becoming like gods, Genesis 3:22, the word 3:22. Aha, now I know where these things come into that I got this morning. It fits. That's where that came from. Satan told three lies. That's where it fits. Surely you won't die. Your mind will be opened, and you will become like God. They've used the TV to manipulate your thinking. Since Metropolis, showing transhumanism in the silent films. Look it up right now. Family goes back to 1700s. It goes back. It goes back to Nimrod. It goes back to Adam and Eve. This is a battle going on way above our pay grade. And they're using humans as their pawns, and God's trying to save you. Until he comes back, Satan is to control this world, as he's allowed by God to do that, to sift out the wheat and the tares. Which side are you going to be on? The creator or the created that's going to lose for sure? This is where we really are today. It's not liberty. It's not fighting for freedom and all this stuff. It's about your soul ending up in heaven or hell. And you have supernatural beings all around you can't see. That's keeping people fooled. How are they doing that? Through humanism, liberalism, keeping you down, keeping you closed off, putting you under blood oaths, secret proceedings. JFK tried to warn you. Lincoln tried to warn you. Some of them, in their deepest heart of hearts, tried to warn you. Well, American history has come to be dominated by Marxist and rabid macho feminists. Accuracy in Academia Campuses report, July-August 1987. Self-declared Soviet-style Eugene Genovese and William A. Williams were elected president of the Organization of American Historians in successive elections, and Louis Kampf, a radical with Marxist predilections, was elected president of the Modern Language Association. Herbert London, Marxism Thriving on American Campuses, The World and I, January 1987. And you know, Time Magazine's Man of the Decade for the 1980s, Mikhail Gorbachev.
Tear down that wall.
Gorbachev. Gorbachev Foundation. Oh, Lordy. He retains his Marxist-Leninist beliefs. Quote, the work of Lenin, his ideals of socialism, remain for us an inexhaustible source of dialectical, creative thought, theoretical wealth, and political sagacity, according to him. Mikhail Gorbachev, Perestroika, New Thinking of Our Country in the World, 1987. Quote, those in the West who expect us to give up socialism will be disappointed. I hold a firm trust in socialist democracy and socialist humanism. In his words, U.S. News and World Report, November the 9th, 1987. I do my research. As nothing special, anybody can. If you just take the darn time to do it. Because they're sneaking up on you. Korea, I've got evidence at the yin yang. And Vietnam, I got evidence at the yin yang. Were set up to lose. They were designed to reduce the effectiveness of our military, starting in 1948, 1950. That's when it all began, actively. It always was planned. But they needed our military, so well trained, so indoctrinated, to make sure that World War I, World War II went off with a hitch. But they didn't succeed totally because we didn't go into a new world order in the 1940s like they'd planned. They miscalculated that they thought that the military would fire on American citizens. That's why they brought in the military from United Nations, China, Russia, Belgium, Lord knows who else, after the 1990s. That's what Clinton was about. Chinagate, look it up. And Jimmy Bob Carter. I throw those names in because I don't have much respect for them. Because they pretend to be Christian and they're Luciferian. A New World Order antagonist. Family, that's why I, myself, do what you like. But me, my loyalty lies with Jesus Christ. That's it. I'm done. I've discovered this myself. That's just my little old self. I don't get all bummed out because you can't trust anybody these days. I can trust somebody. It's called Jesus. He's called Jesus. And I found out that this is supernatural, what we're dealing with. And mankind's in the middle of a bad storm. And mankind's led to believe they can solve it themselves just to keep you busy. You know, they say that sexual liberation is always near the top of countercultural agenda. You know, just what form of liberation takes can and does vary, sometimes quite wildly. Women's liberation, likewise, is another consistent feature of all countercultural movements. It's nothing new. Liberation from husbands, liberation from children, liberation from family, and indeed, the real object of these various sexual heterodoxies is to disestablish the family as a central institution of human society, the citadel of orthodoxy. This is planned at Tavistock and put forth in TV, movements, bondage, and liberation, mind control, population control. It's amazing. I mean, when you start getting into this, it can really pull you in to the genius that these people went through. It's incredible. It's what they're doing, what they've done, excuse me. But I don't lose heart knowing what I know from just from research, which anybody can do. But what I know, I don't lose heart about this because I know they lose. If you ain't got, if you don't have God in your heart and trust in Him and you study this stuff, oh, you're in a whole heap of trouble for sure. Now, let me show you something here, if I can find it right quick. All right. I found this. I got to talk about that. I got an hour to go. All right. That's good. I got time to talk about something here. I should. I got an hour to broadcast, won't I? Family, I got some heavy things to tell you today, and some people ain't going to be happy when I'm done. I'm not overly concerned about that, though. I should be, but I'm not. I'm not. I open up a lot of wounds so people can see what's really going on. Now, people can leave my broadcast if you want to, but it's not going to make the truth go away. And because you're not praying against this, because you're not accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, because up between you and Him, you see, this is what the bottom line is. And it's been extended many times. It's been extended many times. Let me, I don't have it in front of me right now. Let's do this. I found this very interesting. Hillary Clinton oh my gosh, denies the CFR. She denies that she ever attended the CFR. Doesn't even know what we're talking about. And you can hear, if I can find it, bear with me just a second here, family. This thing blew me away last night. I said, man, this is quite amazing. But in an interview, Hillary clearly denies ever knowing the CFR. Denies Bilderberg. And then there's also a report that she says herself of where they take orders from the Bilderberg, from the Council of Foreign Relations. I just don't think they care. All of them are connected to CFR, Council of Foreign Relations. And they don't like it. And even Cheney lied about it, and he admits it when he's talking in a conference. And what they're counting on is for you all not to bring things together. Not to connect the dots is what they're counting on. And what does that matter? What matters is that you know where the enemy is and who you can trust and who you don't. There's people still trust Clinton. People in the older folks would still trust FDR. They didn't realize how evil Hitman was. Family, it's about pointing yourself towards Jesus. That's the bottom line. Now, I had said, I may go back to humanism. Do y'all understand what humanism really is? Bottom line. It's lifting, exalting mankind above God. Now, I got a teaching on that. But humanism teachings, total hostile rejection of traditional beliefs, substitution of man, evolution, amorality, basic goodness of man, and one world system in its place. It teaches man to follow his own changing values and be responsible for the consequences of his action. Abortion, illegitimate births, lesbianism, homosexuality, murder, hatred, strife, contention. You're responsible. Well, when they release the felons, and they will close down all prisons nationwide. They will eliminate the death penalty completely. And they're starting to do that now. They're setting up justification for it. What they're not telling the New Age people, do as thou wilt people, is that when they release these felons, when you're talking murder, hatred, sexuality, strife, and rape, who do you think the victims are? Humanism teaches that man's an animal, soul and body, and needs only to be rightly related with himself. Humanism denies the existence of God. Humanism teaches man is supreme being, therefore faith and trust is in man. I got a whole list of things humanism teaches. I mean, it goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And the list I have is not even exhaustive. Now, I go back to the quotes I gave you all a little while ago. You tell me. We in a whole lot of trouble or what? Who are you going to go to? Jesus is the only one. Family, this is serious business. They're getting ready to call in their markers. I had warned over the past 3 or 4 years how they're going to bring felons from the United States when they release them out of these prisons to be your national police force. It is happening. I also said years ago, I've got a study on it. I've been talking about it since past 4 years of my broadcasting. I've been warning people and warning people every which way I could. My little old world here, about they're going to go after law enforcement that are good cops. They're going to target them and take them down, little by little, from their own precincts, from their own offices, from their own Freemason cops that are supposed to be partners. Well, something's changing. They're confirming that this illegal immigration, this mass immigration, man, it's been going on since 1939 when FDR said he's going to, I quote, infest America with all the aliens possible in the final analysis, declare martial law, unquote. And that's part of a bigger quote. That's FDR. So this infesting with America with all the aliens possible, that's been going on since 1939. Obama's just following up with what everybody else has done. Clinton, Carter, Bush, LBJ, Reagan, a whole lot of them, bringing in foreign nationals to be military against you and against Americans. Article came out, posted July 23rd. Officer deaths jump nearly one-third at the first half of 2014. The number of law enforcement officers killed in line of duty nationwide jumped 31% in the first half of 2014, with California leading the nation with 8 deaths. Family, that's 8 too many. That's 30% too many. One's too many. In the first half of the year, 67 officers died in the line of duty. Paul Rykoff, a so-called former vet working for the Council of Foreign Relations, helping veterans in post-traumatic stress and suicide prevention. Suicides has increased in the past 6 years. Family, they work like Charles Heston, Freemason, like Paul Rykoff, Council of Foreign Relations, Illuminati. They work on your side to slow you down and troll to make sure you don't achieve liberty, freedom, peace of mind. There is 22 to 26 suicides now per day of our veterans that's being orchestrated, planned out by technology, voice-to-skull technology, psychotropic drugs. It's not post-traumatic stress. 80% of them have never went to combat, of those who've committed suicide. The things they saw in Iraq and Afghanistan, bringing the drugs over, the new technology they used against the Iraqi citizens, the first Iraqi war. Now, some people will not understand what I'm saying, but those of you that know, you'll know what I'm saying. The first Iraqi war in 1990s was to get those pots. You know the little pots I'm talking about, y'all? The little pots with the blue around the top of it. Mm-hmm. Bringing everything back here to the New Atlantis. Oops, excuse me. I let that slip. Ooh, I'm sorry. The pots with the blue on top of them, on the rim. The pots that go back that has a very interesting material inside of it. In this new Atlantis here in America, the Atlantis, the fallen angels' playground that was moved. Oop, I'm going to stop there. Those that have done the study you're talking about. Now they're going to start cleansing out the North American continent, setting up for the new Atlantis. That's always been. Sir Francis Bacon planned it out. It goes back so far back. There's a much bigger picture going on than people realize. But now, little by little, everything I've talked about is all based on just an amazing agenda. Well, now they're starting to take us down little by little. You see, there's Luciferians in our own government, the Wicca. So now let's take down the law enforcement organization, divide it, separate it, find out who's on the New World Order side and who's not. And those that's not, start taking them out. I've warned people about this, for the cops to wash their back as if people won't listen to me. But at least I say it, it's said. And you know that number? In the first half of the year, 67 officers died, compared with 51 in the same period in 2013. There's no recall for that, unless you're letting in the criminals to do the job as they're identified. You know, Charles Manson is organizing the Aryan KKKs and all that. And the Aryans never accepted him in the organization. But he's been using his cell phone to organize the white gangs for the day of Helter Skelter. CIA has been controlling ISIS, the cartels. getting ready for Helter Skelter. You got to have Helter Skelter to justify martial law. Martial law carried out by Europeans, UN. You understand how it works? Everything I'm telling you is all connected. Because, quote, article, border patrol agents reveal the UN is in control of the border, unquote. I'm sorry, I don't want to tell you I told you so, but I told you so. Quote, the border sheriff's perplexed by Rick Perry, who's part of the enemy. But the article says, border sheriffs are perplexed by Rick Perry's plan to send 1,000 troops to stare at Mexico. The National Guard troops can't do the same thing sheriffs do. They know that. They're not trained in law enforcement. But when you have a National Defense Authorization Act activated, it overrides the posthumatitis, and you can activate U.S. military in the country in the times of national disaster. I say that the National Guard is going to be the balance to keep the Border Patrol at bay. They're not there to stop the immigration. They're there to facilitate it. To make sure the Border Patrol do not do their job. Family, get ready, y'all. And you all in Texas, you better keep your powder dry. Because to stop the Helter Skelter, they'll say, well, we've got to declare martial law. Take over the government. See, Obama's not Muslim. He's a trained Luciferian to be Muslim, to appear to be Muslim. So it'll be a rise that you'll accept a military takeover of the U.S. government. They have to demonize, and Obama's part of it anyway, by the way, to demonize the U.S. presidency. That's what they've always done. Boykin, he's a Knights of Malta. Rick Joyner is a Knights of Malta. And Rick Joyner, even on, I can't believe this, now, I've played this many times on my broadcast. Rick Joyner calling for a military takeover of the U.S. government to lose your rights, to save rights, on his own station. And there's no YouTube saying, oh, they've arrested Rick Joyner. No. And this is amazing. I mean, family, that's just unbelievable how blatant that they are. They have no fear because they're protected. Rick Joyner is a Knights of Malta. Jerry Boykin, pretending to be a patriot, is a Knights of Malta. That right there shoots him right out of the park. How do they do that? That's amazing. Say I'm a patriot and all this and all that and have taken a blood oath against America? How does that work? It just blows my mind, really. It's quite amazing. But you all understand that they lose, don't you? That we have to go through this judgment. We have to go through this event, these events that's coming up. It has to happen, unfortunately. Because we're turning away from God little by little, you know. And when that happens, because you're not fighting against this same-sex marriage, you're not fighting against this euthanasia act up in Oregon, not fighting against making abortion legal. We're getting caught up in all this mess. That's what we're shooting our, cutting our nose off to spite our face. Family, got to wake up. It's not going to stop. But you can extend it, and extending it to give you an opportunity to witness to others. This is what the bottom line really is. Now, I have all kinds of quotes I haven't played today about Hillary Clinton saying she's never went to CFR, and then she says the CFR gives them orders, never went to Bilderberg. I've got quotes that I've played before, and I'm assuming that most of y'all there today are people you've heard these quotes before. And if I can find them on the Internet, you can too. And it's their own words. It's not, well, I just don't trust the Internet. It's their own words, and you watch them say it. Now, when they do a reset of the computers, they do a financial reset. It's coming. They do a computer reset. Some of the stuff's going to be gone. They'll filter it out. They need the computers to continue the brainwashing when the Sananda Emmanuel, the false prophet, your fake Yeshua, comes into play. They're going to need the Internet to report it. That's how they get in every house. That's why XP don't work, because the new operating systems have another kind of category to it that pulls people into it, little cameras and stuff. I'm not being paranoid. It's what's going on. Now, let me give you an idea with his own voice. You've heard this before.
So things are getting bear with me in D.C., and people are concerned about our Constitution and whether or not, you know, we're maintaining the integrity of our Constitution, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Rick Joyner, Pastor Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries, he's genuinely concerned about the disregard for our Constitution, which is why he's praying for God to manufacture a military takeover of the United States government. On a recent TV episode, it's funny, but it's not funny, because he's really serious, and he's connected up with some like military people. He said this: there's no way our republic can last much longer. It may not last through Obama's second term. There's a glib, almost joyful disregard of the Constitution, a belittling of the Constitution. We're headed for serious tyranny, is what he says. So, Pastor Joyner, please tell us what we can do. I'm concerned about our Constitution, too. What can we do to save it? Let's see what he has to offer.
The kingdom of God is coming. And America is not the kingdom of God. We're not the new Jerusalem. I think we've been used in some wonderful and powerful ways by God. We've been one of the most generous nations in history. We've done so much good. And that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us. And as I've started telling friends for a long time, that no election is going to get the right person in there that can restore us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now, the whole system. I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law, and that the most crucial element of that is who the marshal is going to be. I believe there are noble leaders in our military.
Well, I hope God is watching his little TV station there.
I'm shocked that he would ask for specifically a military takeover. Oftentimes their messages are slightly more subtle.
And even more specifically, he says, I believe that there are noble leaders in our military that love the republic, love everything that we stand for, and they could seize the government. And what's important to him, as he said, is who those people are within the military. So who might those noble marshals be, Pastor Joyner? Well, Rick Joyner is the president of the Oak Initiative, which is, their own website describes them as a grassroots movement to unite, mobilize, equip, and activate Christians. And among the ministers and Christian lobbyists that comprise the 14 board member of the Oak, listed directly below the chair and the president, is retired Army General Jerry Boykin. And this is how Boykin is described in the Oak Initiative's own website. Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit in America's ultra-secretive and deadly Delta Force. That's who I want as part of my Christian army.
That's unbelievable. You know, what the hypocrisy here is just egregious, right? So one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not kill. Period. It's not thou shalt not kill unless it's convenient to our political agenda. It's unbelievable, especially to have people that have essentially trained to kill others on their board and on their team.
Besides the fact of the hypocrisy of they're so concerned about the Constitution that they want to usurp the Constitution. So on a recent show, General Boykin and Pastor Joyner discussed the excitement that the end times were near and that the only thing that needs to happen in order for the end times is for a prophecy to take place, Isaiah's prophecy of the destruction of Damascus, Syria. So they're like
super excited about the destruction.
They're geared up. Yeah. Oh, goody, grab the popcorn, you know. End days are coming, but not before Joyner and Boykin elicit God's help to save the Constitution by suspending the Constitution.
What do you think? Am I wrong here? You, Secret Society members, do you see where you're involved in? I will tell you, Galatians 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. I would not play around with this if I were you all. Because they're coming to a crescendo. They're coming to a pinnacle of their pyramid. How are they going to control you? Well, they've already got Marxism already in every campus, every university, every public school. Who's monitored? Freemasons. Eastern Star school teachers, doctors, lawyers, nurses, administrators, etc. Who? Palin? Joyce Myers? Copeland? Just name them. I mean, look it up right now, a list of Knights of Malta. And just know that we know, and if we know, you know God knows your heart. Why do you even bother to go to church? You think God don't know your heart? Yeah, you got to be kidding me. Think you're going to get away with it? It ain't going to happen. How do they control us? What are they coming up with? Well, how about this? Oh, you're going to just love this one. I found this one. Somebody sent me this, and it's just for population control. Oh, it's a beauty how they do this. This may take a few minutes. Here we go. And I'll let Motorola tell you. If I get past this doggone commercial.
In the last 40 years, we have not changed how we unlock our devices,
Deepak
even
Chandra.
Though their usage has significantly increased. An average user unlocks their phone 39 times a day, and it takes them 2.3 seconds every time they do so. It is so cumbersome that more than 50% of users do not lock their phones, exposing their personal data to theft. So we started working on making it easier for people to unlock their phones. Your phone is personal to you, so how you access it should be personalized to your style. Last year, we launched Skip, a wearable clip to unlock your Moto X. Now we are excited about a new wearable. It's a digital tattoo from Vivalink.
We worked with Motorola to make a digital tattoo. It's easy to put on and last for 5 days. Whether you take a shower or exercise, you don't have to worry about it. It goes where you go. We combine materials from flexible electronics industry with the leading edge of RF engineering to make the ultra-thin digital tattoo that is so comfortable that you barely notice. We also work very closely with the top designers in the world, including IDEO, to make a tattoo that looks beautiful and is easy to use. No fumbling, no typing, just tap.
I just can't wait to get one. A digital tattoo that looks like a CNI on the inside of your wrist. It's on there like a piece of tape. I just can't wait to get one. It attaches to your skin to unlock your phone. by Motorola. Okay. Now, they're going to have digital tattoos of Batman, Superman, so your little kiddies can have them too. Isn't that nice? Well, I found something else along that line for your little kiddies and your loved ones. And some of y'all, my regular listeners, you've heard this before. Bear with me. I have to, including new information, I have to include old information. And obviously, there's a link between DARPA and Motorola. Because I found this little jewel. They don't care either. Here we go. This is precious. Here we go, sort of. Oh, man, I tell you. To receive by 2017.
Well,
oh, my.
We're thinking of a whole variety of options for how DARPA you can
director.
Do better at authentication. So
authentication.
You can start with nearer-term things like tokens or fobs that might have NFC or Bluetooth embedded in them. But you can also think about a means of authentication that you could simply wear on your skin every day for a week at a time, say an electronic tattoo. Now, we're talking about wearables. Everybody's interested in wearables. I'm profoundly interested in wearables. And what I will tell you is that we've made a lot of advances in wearables, but there's still some fundamental problems that we haven't solved. Like, one of them is the mechanical mismatch between humans and electronics, right? So electronics are boxy and rigid, humans are curvy and soft. That's a mechanical mismatch problem. Well, a researcher at the University of Illinois, his name is Dr. Rogers, what he discovered is that he could use standard CMOS techniques to make islands of high-performance silicon connected by accordion-like structures that would allow it to stretch up to 200% and still be performing. And what he did is he founded a company and they started making electronic tattoos. So I'm wearing one here on my arm.
Do we have a camera to get a...
This is a developmental system made by MC10, and it has an antenna and some sensors embedded in it. And what we plan to do is work with them to advance a tattoo that could be used for authentication. Now, it may be true that 10 to 20-year-olds don't want to wear a watch on their wrist, but you can be sure that they'll be far more interested in wearing an electronic tattoo, if only to piss off their parents. Right?
And that can have a design, right?
Sure.
They would certainly want some kind of cool design.
Options, right? Options. And that's something that you wear, but you could also imagine including authentication in just your daily habits. So I take a vitamin every morning. What if I could take vitamin authentication?
What?
Vitamin authentication. Look, I have one right here. Well, here, I'll let you hold it. Would you like to hold it?
I'll hold it.
Okay. So this...
You guys see it?
This pill has a small chip inside of it with a switch. It also has what amounts to an inside-out potato battery. When you swallow it, the acids in your stomach serve as the electrolyte.
That's what they do.
And they power it up, and the switch goes on and off. And it creates an 18-bit ECG-like signal in your body, and essentially your entire body becomes your authentication token. Yes, this is true.
So it's
really true. So what this means is that becomes my first superpower. I really want this superpower. It means that my arms are like wires, my hands are like alligator clips. When I touch my phone, my computer, my door, my car, I'm authenticated in. First superpower. Like, I want that.
So we're not shipping that right away.
Yeah, no. We're not shipping that right away.
This is FDA cleared?
So here's the thing. This is not science fiction. This pill is actually made by a company called Proteus, and they've developed it for medical applications. That pill has been CE stamped and cleared by the FDA. You can take 30 of those per day for the rest of your life.
And then what happens? Does your heart
nothing
beat change? Does your
We can just tell that you've taken the pill. I mean, the medical
application. Yeah.
The medical application.
Does Google now know everything I do and everywhere I go? Because let's face it.
Here,
we like you guys, but you're from Google.
Just give him some water and let him take that.
So
right now.
Thanks.
Maybe Dennis. Dennis, let me ask you. Does Larry make you take one of
these? It's optional.
Optional.
So we actually have demoed this working and authenticating a phone.
Yeah.
How about that, huh? Authenticate with a digital tattoo. Does that shock anybody? No. It should. I found another report on it, you might say, that I found interesting. Commentary of this digital tattoo. And I think I'll play this in order if I can hold on a second. Well, I can't hold on a second. That'd be dead air time, wouldn't it? Yeah. I tell you what, family. I do this on my broadcast. I try to bring the truth not only to secret societies and their members, but here we go. Here's another report on it from another perspective that I like. No, that's a commercial I don't like. I don't like commercials. We'll skip the commercial and we go back to the commentary here of another commentator.
This digital tattoo, or Mark of the Beast prototype tattoo, as I'd like to say, where they are promoting it under security risk and a time saver, you know, because it takes 2.5 seconds to log onto your phone. So they want to try to make that cut down in half, you know, to a 1 second moment. So you put it over your tattoo and Mark of the Beast thing, and whoop, there you go. You can log on your phone. So go ahead and sell your soul for convenience or whatever else you need. Anyhow, this is the prototype that Motorola is putting out, and it draws a very, very, very thin line. Is this the Mark of the Beast? No, I'm not claiming that. Is it a prototype for something that could lead to it later? Sure. You know, obviously it's a microchip, you know, that you can't buy or sell or trade with. Obviously we're not buying and selling and trading with this thing, but it definitely is a prototype or symbol of something's to come. But look at that. Look how that phone, boop, just comes right on just like that. And, you know, the funny thing is that the Bible, and let me flip over to it. Here we go. In the book of Revelations, chapter 13, verses 16, talked about the mark of the beast. And here we are already seeing some of this today. And I'm going to read the NASB right here. And he causes all, the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or forehead.
Now, what I want to do is go to the real Bible, called the King James Bible, and read you that. And he causes all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads. And, of course, the King James Bible is the only one that's not missing verses, the only one that comes from God, and all the rest of them come from Satan. Only King James Bible. Remember that. And this is provable beyond a shadow of a doubt, and that's something that's very important. But back to this Mark of the Beast prototype, I'm going to let it continue, but that's something I need to interject to make sure it's understood. Continuing.
Interesting that the Bible predicted years and years and years and years ago, you know, that we are going to be at some point having a mark on our hand or forehead that we can't buy or sell or trade anything. And if you know, and if you're a Christian and know about the Lord, that's not a good thing, not something you ever want to get. So this once again is drawing that very thin line of that technological advancement that could eventually lead to the mark of the beast. Now, this particular tattoo that they are selling here is adhesive, and it sticks to your skin, and you have to buy them in packets because One is only going to last you for 5 days. Yes. You know, something that resembles this much of the mark of the beast, I will never, ever buy or put on my body. Not that it's a big deal if you do, because it's obviously not the mark of the beast. It's just a scary thought and a scary thing to think of. But it says these little puppies last for 5 days, full whopping 5 days. Here's a video that I'm going to include below on my Before It's News post that talks about these things and what they're on. So it's a quick minute video. I'll go ahead and share that below. But it says you can buy these digital tattoos in packs of 10. Let's check this out. Oh, here we go. Digital tattoos. There they are. See, 10 pack. You can get them for nice and cheap. So they want you to basically try out their program, see if it works, and meanwhile promote the mark of the beast while you're at it. So what a great and crazy world that we live in. But I recommend not getting these puppies. But here it is. You know, digital tattoos is the simplest way to unlock your phone. Yes, this mark of the beast prototype is wonderful, is it not? Here's another picture of it. You know, that's just concerning. If you're a Christian and you know anything about end times, you know anything about Bible prophecy, something like that makes you want to go, ah, and scream your head off. it's late, so I don't want to scream too loud. But anyhow, something like this is a freaky thought and a freaky thing to think about. And the crazy part is the Bible told us years and years and years and years ago that something like this would be happening. And that should make people want to say, hey, you know, God is who he says he is and this stuff is real. And it's going to come about one day. It's just a matter of time. Anyhow, this is the latest and new technology coming near you. And I guess you can buy these crazy little digital packs in 10 at this moment. But obviously, I don't want to be a spawn for the prototype of a Mark of the Beast. Anyhow, just thought I would bring that to your attention. This is Lisa Haven signing off.
Okay, I wanted to include that. It is Lisa Haven. She did a YouTube on it. It's a very good report. I did have to add at least the King James to it because it's important to know that that's the only true Bible. It's a very important to know. So I can't support that part, but it's a very good report. It tells you. Now, that being said, here is a major evangelist, well respected at one time, well followed, says this, and the commentators.
Story to tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Top of it. I've got a surprise for you today.
Okay.
Do you remember when you talked about someone asked about the mark of the beast and whether or not someone could receive the mark of the beast and then become a believer? You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the controversy that stirred up?
Yes.
It was quite a bit.
Brandon House is talking, and the guest is Jimmy DeYoung, I believe it is. Okay, here we go.
Wasn't it?
It was.
I got a lot of emails, people saying, I can't believe he would say such a thing. You remember all that?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Well, I was walking April the other night listening to a Q&A from a few years ago where John MacArthur on a Wednesday night would have the folks in his congregation stand up and go to the microphones and shoot questions at him. Would you like to hear the question he was asked and his answer?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
In regard to the latter half of the tribulation period when men would be required to have the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell. My question is, once a person takes the mark, is there any possibility of him coming to Christ?
Yes. I think, you know, in the 7-year tribulation coming in the future, we're going to get into this, so probably a week from Sunday night, maybe this Sunday night, maybe a week, I'm not sure. But the tribulation is a 7-year period, right? The rapture of the church, 7-year tribulation, then Christ returns, sets up his kingdom. Now, in that 7-year period, really two things happen. God begins to judge the world with a series of holocausts, and at the same time, he begins to redeem his people Israel. And in the process of this, the Antichrist establishes his rule, and in order to function in the economy of the Antichrist, you have to take the mark of the beast. The mark being the number of a man, Revelation 13, 666. Six is the number of man, right? Seven is the number of perfection, and man always falls short of perfection. 6666. Always six is never seven. So the number of man. And apparently what's going to happen, you take the mark on your hand or on your forehead. And we've talked a lot about that, you know, that that's kind of the computer situation. We're now moving fast toward the time when we're going to have to do everything we do by cards and by numbers and all of that. And those number, the thing about a card that's a problem is you lose it, and they've already devised systems to put the number on your hand and on your forehead. You go through a scanner, and then, you know, that's how you buy and sell. It's automatically deducted from your bank account. Now, the question is, if you're living in the tribulation period, and you take this mark, in other words, you identify with the beast's empire, will you still be able to be redeemed? And I think the answer to that is yes. Yes. Otherwise, there would be no salvation of anybody in the end of the tribulation. And you've got to have the salvation of folks in the end of the tribulation. You're going to have the Jews redeemed. You're going to have, according to Revelation chapter 7, an innumerable number of Gentiles redeemed, so many they can't even be counted across the face of the earth. So I don't think the fact that someone takes that is a sentence to it, to permanency, any more than you being a part of this world system once in your life means you have to be a part of the system all your life. Well, especially when the 144,000 don't start their ministry till the second half.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That make it a little tough.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Dr. DeYoung.
Well, we're looking at the same book. You know, that's what's so interesting, and that's what we were saying. I mean, you know, that's not the unpardonable sin. You've got to be. I've never thought that what he said there was very interesting. The fact is, if nobody gets saved in the last 3.5 years because they have received that mark, where's that unbelievable number of Jews that come to know Christ that are living, that actually go into the millennial kingdom in natural bodies? That's good that Brother John is looking at the same book that I am, and we came up with the same answers.
Well, it is, and that was very interesting because you remember that was really, really controversial. I'm not so sure you've ever made a statement on our program before that was as controversial as that one. And I got so many emails on it, and then I was walking the dog the other night listening to this Q&A, and I thought, oh, I've got to play this on the air. This will be a great surprise for Dr. DeYoung. So there you go.
It is a pleasant surprise, and the dear brothers and sisters who disagreed, you know, I don't quite know where they were coming from. I don't need to know that. But just now, with that confirmation from another Bible teacher, and he's a great Bible teacher. I'm just a beginner, but
No, I wouldn't say that, but go on.
It's great to see that, and the confirmation of both of us believing that same thing. I wonder how many more emails you're going to get now.
Oh, well.
You got two guys on your side that are pretty good, right?
I think so, too.
Yeah. Well, we both love you and love what you're doing and have the opportunity to interact on your program.
Well, the feeling's mutual. Thank you. Oh, well.
Okay. Wasn't that interesting? Oh, well. Well, I got something for you. They make it sound like it's new, right? It's just in development stages, whatever. Well, I got something for you. 1972, 73 time frame. Yeah, I know. Here we go. There's a 92-page monograph that was Xeroxed, secretly carried out. I've got a copy of it, by the way. And the official title of this Xerox copy, probably brought out by the inspiration of the Pentagon Papers, when someone saw this abomination, was entitled Development and Legal Regulation of Coercive Behavior Modification Techniques with Offenders. Development and Legal Regulation. Here's the key words. Of coercive behavior modification techniques with offenders. Now, you'll find it out of stock, but it's hard to find a copy. I got a copy of it. And it was funded by the Department of Health and Education and Welfare, financed it. The HEW, the thesis of this study was that social or cultural or political rehabilitation began inside the nervous system of the citizen. And so the plan of this abomination was a miniaturized radio transmitter implanted inside the brain or body, could monitor, transmit the conversations, locations, even the sexual response of the subject 24 hours a day. So in 1973, the report explains that sewed up inside the subject's body, along with this transponder, would also be a miniaturized radio-controlled electrical shock device. And the device would deliver punishment to the offender anywhere in the world. Huh? Now, who are the offenders and subjects in this thing? Well, when I read it, I found out the author of this abomination was Professor Ralph K. Schwitzbell of Harvard University, no less. Yep, there's Harvard again. I guess that's why Rockefeller gives him $20 million. But later in the monograph, this thing dwells on homosexuals, but later it talks about officials, offenders, financial matters, and financial obligations, and such and such. And the paper predicts micro-miniaturization. This is 1973. The mark of the beast you'll find in Revelation 13, verses 15 to 18, in Revelation 14, verse 9, 14, verse 11, and it says there in Revelation 14, 11, in the Bible, and this is one they're using a Bible, Revelation 14, verse 11, it says, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Boy, somebody's wrong. Somebody's reading a different Bible than we got in the King James. A little something wrong there, MacArthur, DeYoung, or whatever. Something, they're using a whole different kind of Bible. It does appear, huh? And in Revelation 19:20, even. If you go to Revelation 19:20, it just gets worse. 19:20 states clearly, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. The false prophet, by the way, is Yeshua. Sananda Emmanuel, the fallen angel, is a false prophet. By the way, he's coming. I just gave you his name. Anyway, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them, that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. There's Revelation 20, verse 4. There's no mistake. In Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now this is the first 3.5 years. And for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And that's when Gog and Magog is after 1,000 years. I don't know what Bible they're using, but it's not a Bible from God. Now, I got a whole lot to say about the mark of the beast. I don't have time right now. I've got 3 minutes to go. But I gave you the meat of it. I gave you the humanist that goes back to the 1700s. And it's all smack dab. And they tell on themselves, their own words, their own quotes. You know, It's like that old little old lady sitting at the green light, a little old lady from Pasadena, and the old redneck behind her keeps blowing the horn, old Cletus. And when the light turns green, she just keeps on sitting there. And old Cletus rolls windows down and says, "Hey, lady, get moving. That light ain't going to get no greener." Well, it ain't going to get no clearer. You understand? To take Jesus as Savior, this is supernatural war that you're in. Whether you like it or not or believe it or not, it is. If you're in a secret society, you're doomed. All the good works in the world will not get you out of hell. But taking Jesus Christ as your Savior, renouncing the blood oath, and bringing God back to your family, that will. And if you're not born again and you're still under, and your wife or husband or whatever is born again, you will never see them again. You will be separated from them. Your family will be broken up because you failed to renounce that blood oath. This is serious, what I'm telling you. And that time of decision is about upon us. You'll be given rewards, all kinds of things to keep you down, threats if you go outside it. You may even lose your job. Better lose your job than lose your life in hell, in the second death, for an eternity. Man, don't be playing around with this. Because they've lost this already. Greater is He in you than is in the world. If you've got Jesus Christ as Savior, show no fear, but have courage. Live your life without fear, even though they try to throw it at you. No, I refuse it. Take Jesus as your Savior and live. Because you're afraid to die, then your life, you're afraid to live. Y'all have a good night now here. 7:30 to 9, Bible study tonight. We talk about giants in the Bible, Nephilim, fallen angels. It's all in the Bible. Alchemy, how they use it. We'll talk about all kinds of things tonight. Also, let you all know we're played randomly at highportradio.net. Highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York. He has radio stations up there. He's trying to get his station going. Give some hand up there, y'all. Also, my website is watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. I'm still here. And kind of an inside joke, Elmer Fudd has not left the room. And he ain't caught Bugs Bunny either. That's an inside joke. Y'all have a good night, you hear? And we'll see y'all tonight, 7:30 to 9. Or tomorrow, 4 to 6. So, God bless and good night. This is The Watchman, signing off.
From the sky, guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.